I'm in LA. It's unexpectedly cold. And we're going to do the show with Paul Long. He's going to talk to us about Message Analyzer. So let's start the music. Hey, guys, and welcome to the show. I have Paul Long with me today. Paul, say hi.
Hey, guys. How's everyone doing?
Paul and I have been friends for a long time. We started out together supporting very, very early versions of Windows, and we both kind of grew up in the networking area in Microsoft. We've used lots of different networking tools like Network Monitor and Wireshark, NetSH, and now Message Analyzer. And so today, Paul's going to talk to us a little bit about Message Analyzer. So, Paul, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Very good. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, doing well, man. It's cold here. I'm in L.A. It's unsuspectingly cold.
Who would have guessed?
Who would have guessed? That's right. I had to go grab a sweatshirt. Yeah, man. So Message Analyzer, I know we've got a brand new version coming out. I was hoping I could get you to talk a little bit about what the differences are between, our tool, Message Analyzer, and, you know, other tools like Wireshark and Fiddler.
Sure. So I think at the start of things, when we created Message Analyzer, we made some decisions to view things from the application layer. I think the idea was to kind of expect users to understand the problem from the perspective of the user and then drill down. So we've kind of shifted the focus around what you see in the analyzer. That doesn't mean you can't go look at the lower layers, of course, but unless you have that application layer. And what this means is that your data is more condensed. If you do a request for a web page and get a response back, that could be one message in Message Analyzer, where in tools like Wireshark and Netmon and these other tools, they tend to show every little fragment, and it makes it a little bit more dense data to look at. So that's one of the major differences.
So kind of a way to put messages back together.
Yeah, exactly. And we reassemble them for you automatically. We kind of show you a nice, friendly description, but it's at the top layer.
But I can still see things like the SYN request, the XN, the ACK. I can still see all the network traffic as well.
Yeah, you can still drill down that. So, in fact, one of the biggest pieces of feedback we've gotten is that people want to get the Netmon view because that's what they're used to, or the Wireshark view, which is different than the Netmon view a little bit. So we're adding a feature to get that exact view back, but you can break into the different layers, you know, like the OSI model, and you're able to use that to set different viewpoints and look at the traffic from those layers with Message Analyzer. So you have the control to go, look at any layer you want to and see the individual SYN packets like you're talking about.
Oh, that's awesome. Are you bringing back the conversation tree?
So the conversation tree has been there for a while. The difference is now in this version, we've had this idea of profiles. And so profiles are basically like Wireshark profiles. It's a set of configurations and stuff. So one of the things that happened when you open a capture file today is you get the conversation tree open automatically to the left side. And we've also added process tracking back the way it used to work. Well, not the way it worked in Network and Monitor, but being able to open a capture Network Monitor and see the little icons on the left side and the conversation tree you're used to. So that stuff is coming back in this next version too.
I think the neat thing with Message Analyzer is that it kind of eliminates the need for multiple tools, right? Previously, you had to take a network trace, and then if the traffic was encrypted, you had to go out and get a tool like Fiddler and then maybe do a Fiddler trace if you wanted to see the encrypted traffic unencrypted. And that wasn't really an easy task, right? You had to install a cert. You had to do a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, it certainly made a lot simpler with Message Analyzer. And as you point that out, it's not only a tool for reading network traces, but we can read net logon logs, SMB logs from Linux boxes. So you're able to kind of bring all this data into the same place, a trace with a text log, for instance, and intermix those together, and then try to understand the whole story together in one view, which gives you a lot of like correlation. You know, if something happened at this time, well, what happened in the log file at the same exact time? And putting those things together is a lot easier when it's all part of the same product. But going back to the decryption part of things, decryption is built in as well, and being able to not only take a network trace for encryption, but how about taking a trace that is from a different layer in the stack, like before the decryption happens, and therefore you can see the unencrypted data in a different perspective. So Message Analyzer gives you a lot of different choices when it comes to dealing with decryption.
Yeah, that's awesome. What about performance? Is there like a performance benefit that we get with Message Analyzer?
There are some. So the fact that we do put all these frames back together and reassemble them, you save on filtering. So imagine that you have a Wireshark trace or a Netmon trace, and you're looking at 100,000 messages, and you do a filter on a port or something. It has to go through 100,000 messages to figure it out. But since we kind of reassemble all those fragments together, the filtering is faster. So when you do a filter and those 100,000 messages become three messages in Message Analyzer, you know, we basically have three messages to look at. So the performance in that perspective is a lot better. Another performance perspective aspect that kind of is related is that when you take these traces at different layers, like for instance, we have a way to take a trace at the HTTPS layer, you know, and there's no network stack underneath. So in that particular case, it's much faster because you're not saving, you know, all those bytes that deal with the network layers. So those are two aspects of performance that are much better with Message Analyzer.
That's awesome. Does filtering work kind of the same way?
Filtering in terms of the syntax is the same. We tried to make the syntax the same. The underlying language behind Message Analyzer is different than Netmon. I don't know. Remember with Netmon, we had NPL, which was like this language that described the parsers. With Message Analyzer, we made it a little bit more advanced. Actually, it's more like C#, so it's a little bit easier, I think, to get your arms wrapped around it. But the filtering language, we tried to mimic like Netmon. And for a lot of cases, you can cut and paste from Netmon into Message Analyzer, and those will work the same.
And you can open cap files as well, I think, right?
That's right. So we can open cap files, PCAP Next Gen. Like I mentioned, you open text files, ETL files. So a tool to, you know, there's some tools that let you read ETL files, which are messages that different components in Windows spit out. I mean, Windows is just like this noisy beast when it comes to all the messaging it does, but there's not many tools that let you read them. So with Message Analyzer, you can read virtually any kind of ETL. So it has many different formats it supports, and of course PCAP is one of them, and CAP is one of them.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, the tool just sounds awesome. Can you give us a quick demo?
Yeah, sure. So I think what I'd like to do is demonstrate how decryption works.
I like the new interface.
Yeah, cool. And you're going to see some new things here. Obviously, this has not been released yet. It depends on when we air. But anyways, this is stuff you can look forward to seeing. So let's do a demo. You want to do a demo of a capture I've captured already that's encrypted, and how we can decrypt that using Message Analyzer.
Absolutely.
Cool. So I'm going to start. I've got a capture here, and this is an old capture I've had for a while. And it's got encrypted information. It was taken using, I'm not even sure what, probably NMCAP, I'm guessing. And it has a decrypted HTTP streams in it. So the first thing I'll point out is that, you know, in Message Analyzer, there's a couple things have changed that you might notice right up front. And the first thing is that we have this tool window at the top, which is a little bit different because the filtering part of it is now attached to the window. And we heard lots of feedback that the filtering window is something there you want all the time. You look for it at the top. It kind of got lost to where it is. So we think this will really make it easier for people that use Netmon and other tools, similar tools, to just kind of dig right in. And of course, the filtering, like we said, you know, works like Netmon. I can do an HTTP filter. I do Control Enter. I like keys because I think it's quicker. But I could have hit the Apply button.
Cool.
And so I'm just gonna look at the HTTP traffic. Why don't I kind of narrow things down? And while that's happening, let me just point out the other pieces of the UI real quick. So this is the conversation tree I was talking about. The difference with our conversation tree is that you can change it, and you can see at the top that these little fields here define how the tree is arranged. So we got a process name, a process ID, and I can collapse these all. This is kind of a boring trace in that there's not a lot of processes captured with this one. But if you open up the next layer, and I can collapse these as well, you can see that, let's go to the network layer. that I could see all the address pairs, and this is something that, you know, Netmon would show you as well. So it's kind of analogous to that view.
Yeah, those look like MAC address pairs.
Right, exactly. And so something you can do in Message Analyzer, which you couldn't do in Netmon, is you could filter the tree. So again, we have this toolbar, and each window could have a separate filter. And that was true before, but this just makes it a little bit more obvious. So for instance, I could say, okay, only show me the conversations that have HTTP. Now, this is a TLS trace, and the reason I did an HTTP filter is to show that there's nothing there because it's encrypted. So let me do something like TLS, and I'll do the same thing in the other window. And so now we can see the list of traffic, and here we see our TLS conversations, the port pairs, the IPv6 address, in this case, an IPv4 address pair. So like Netmon, this is just showing the conversations, gives you a quick eagle view of the data.
Yeah, I like that. I like that interface better.
Yeah. So next thing you'll notice is that we have a lot of TLS traffic, and another feature, and we've had this for a while, but we're trying to make it a little bit more easy to discover, is that once you have this conversation tree open and you have a lot of traffic, it's maybe not even apparent to a person that doesn't, look at network traffic, but this is not just one piece, one conversation, it's multiple conversations, right? So in order to kind of look at one specific conversation, the Wireshark folks always ask for, what's the follow the stream? How do I see all the related traffic? Well, the way we have it now is you could right click the frame, but we also have this button that says find in grouping viewer. So all this really does is it highlights the associated message in the grouping viewer. And by selecting that, if I would have clicked on it manually, it would filter for that traffic, right? So now I just see one conversation, one encrypted TLS conversation. So let's go ahead and decrypt the data and see how it works and what the data looks like after we decrypt it.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I really do like the way this works. And I lost your mouse pointer for a second there, but I love the fact that we can single out a TCP session. I mean, a lot of this stuff is stuff that I kind of feel like we had Netmon and kind of got, it wasn't lost, but it was buried in the older versions of the tool.
Yeah, and I think, as the UI progresses, UIs are a pretty expensive thing. So, we spend a lot of time improving it and making it better. But I agree. I think we're getting better and better, and that's the idea here. So let's start. And the first thing you need is a cert, and I already have one. So the way this works is in the tools option menu, there's a feature or a section called decryption. And this is where you can add all your certificates. And it saves the certificates that I've used before in the past, so I can always reference them again. The way I get a new certificate is add the certificate. In this case, it's already in the list, but I'll go to my demos, my decryption, and you could just double click on it, and it shows up in the list. So I have two, I don't need two. Then you have to make sure it's checked. The ones you have saved before aren't checked necessarily. And then you type my really well-disguised here password. And now it has the cert and has the password. However, the data is not decrypted yet. The reason is that this happens while we parse the data. And that's an advantage for us because if you do it while we're parsing, that means it's something that can be extended for other parsers. So TLS is used in lots of parsers. HTTP is just one of them. LDAP is another. So this allows us to make it more extensible if we need to update it for other parsers. But what you have to do is reparse it. So how do you do that? Well, we now have a button under session. And so all these things, when I open up a file, we call it a session. You open up a capture file, that's a session. I open up 100 ETLs, that's another session. A message analyzer can host multiple sessions at the same time. I hit the reparse button. And now it's going through and reparsing the trace again. I think we can ignore this, and I will ignore it. But now you can see that it's been decrypted for us. The data that was before shown up as TLS application data now shows up as decrypted data. So
yeah, so that's pretty cool. So you have to have the cert that was used to encrypt the transaction.
Yeah, and so you need, and this is a very important point, you need the server-side cert. And this is true of any decryption mechanism. There are some restrictions. Not only do you need the server cert, which, you know, sometimes hard to get from your companies, but if you can get it, you can decrypt it. But another option is if they can decrypt it, they don't have to send you the cert. They can decrypt it, save it.
Yeah.
Right.
I was just going to say save it decrypted.
Right. And so that saves all the information. So if someone you're working with has an issue sending you the cert, which they probably will, they can always do it for you and send you the resulting data. So that's another option for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And for the people that are watching this that are, you know, technical account managers or other people that, you know, deal directly with customers but aren't really part of the end user's organization, certainly an opportunity to teach them how to use the tool as well.
Yeah, please. And I mean, you know, I think that's the most important thing with any tool, right? It's sort of the self-evangelism of it. So, yeah, hopefully you guys can teach your customers.
And absolutely.
They can teach people. So you'll notice that the HTTP operations are the HTTP messages are showing up. Message Analyzer, another difference that you sort of asked about at the beginning, is we, again, to make things less terse, we put the requests and responses together. That just makes it kind of simpler when you're looking at it from this top level. In these windows below, by the way, are populated when I click a message in the main window. So when I click a message, you'll see that the stack itself is updated. The stack is just showing you how these messages look from the network perspective. And since we do defragment things, something like this mess of messages is really just a bunch of TCP fragments. In fact, I can hover over them. So that's kind of showing you how much we have condensed the trace. In Netmon and Wireshark, you'd see all these fragments kind of separated and in a way messing up the succinctity of the data that we can see for HTTP. But of course, like we said before, you can, and by the way, there are some bugs here, so I'm going to work around this bug. And this is, again, an early version of it. But here's the message stack, and you can navigate the stack. If you want to see that TCP message, you can click in the stack and see it. And then you see all the TCP messages, the nitty-gritty data that you want to see. Another cool thing, I think, with Message Analyzers, we also condense the data itself and kind of show you this field data of it. So for instance, in the case of some of these images, and I'm not sure I have a good, there's one right there. It'll actually show you what the pictures look like. Again, this idea of taking all this data and kind of making it a little bit more condensed and easier to consume. So this field data window is a...
Dude, that's awesome, by the way. I just have to interrupt.
Yeah, that's a crowd pleaser for sure. I think, and it's a very useful thing. And you can save the data, you know, save the picture and open it in Notepad or whatever, Paintbrush. But anyways, it gives you a way to visualize that data, right? The visualization is a very important part for helping you keep your place in things. So that was one kind of decryption. Last thing I'm going to show you with this is there's also a helper window. So people, are doing decryption. They don't always know if it works. Or maybe it works on some of the traffic, but not the other. So there is a window, a tool window, and we call all these windows, like the message stack and the details and the field data, tool windows. There's one called the decryption window. And it basically has a summary of all the data. Now, this is filtered because I filtered the view, but I'm going to remove it. And just so we can see a list of all the conversations that it might have filtered. So. And this is interesting because, remember, I've clicked here, so I'm still filtered because this filters, but you can reset that filter. So I've reset everything. I no longer have a selection here, and I remove my filter. And so now you see all these conversations and whether or not they were successful or not. So one of them failed. We're trying to get better on the error messages. It actually, you know, we need a lot of data. People, you know, say, hey, this doesn't work and this doesn't work, and then we design error messages around those things. Something we have improved a lot in this late version. But anyways, in this case, it does tell you some of them failed and some of them succeeded. So why might they fail? Kind of an important key about this expert. One reason, maybe you don't have the full conversation. We need that TLS setup, and it has to be the first time it sets it up, not the second time it caches the data. So that's one reason it might not work. Another reason is that the decryption ciphers that we can support are limited. And I think the idea behind decryption, right, is so that people can't look at it. And they're making it harder and harder, even for our tools to do it. Which, by the way, is going to segue into the second part, is how do you, maybe if you can't decrypt it after the fact, how do you do it before? But maybe I'll ask you, Lex, does that make sense? Any comments or questions that you think the audience might have?
No, that makes perfect sense. I love the tool. I love the interface. I think you did a great job explaining it. I love the field data. That's pretty cool. To see the images that we're actually sending back and forth across the wire. So if you want to look at like the old hex dump stuff, you can still do that somewhere, I assume?
Sure. And so I'll show another feature here, and I'll let them all out of the bag. But basically, we now have these layouts. And so this is just how the windows around are laid out. So a very simple one is just, and this is because this is a view. But for instance, with this capture, you just have the capture at the top and the date at the bottom. But these other layouts let you kind of explore some of these tool windows. And so the one that is probably the most messy, but has every single tool window, shows the hex data, and we call it message data. So for instance, if I click on this, you'll see that kind of the hex layout. Now this is a new layout. We even heard feedback that people want the normal debugger type layout. Something we consider bringing back for sure. But the difference with our layout here is that it kind of just puts the two numbers together so that users understand that 47 and G means the same thing, which we understood that, you know, users before with the normal debug, a lot of users didn't get it. They didn't understand what that view is for. And so we do have that view still.
Yeah, that's really cool. But there's one thing that I do want to add, and this is just a comment. It's not really specific to anything that you've shown, but I do hear this a lot, and so I thought I'd just bring it up. You know, a lot of people, I think, shy away from using newer tools like Message Analyzer just because, you know, it's new and they're comfortable with the old tool. And I would just encourage people to learn the new tool. I mean, you're already 90% there, right?
Yeah,
you know how network traffic works. If you know how network traffic works, learning the tool is just a matter of figuring out how to see the things that, you know, you want to see. And so I need to encourage everybody to download Message Analyzer, and I think you're going to send a link for us for that.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, we're going to have a link for that at the end of the show. And and also, maybe send us over some of your training video links, and we can add those at the end as well.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I've got a few, and I'm definitely going to work on some more. All this change in the UI kind of, in fact, we got feedback saying, you know, hey, the video's not up to date anymore. And as you know, this production isn't free. So, but yeah, this next version, I'm excited. I think we have a lot of cool things that I can demonstrate.
Okay.
Cool. So let's go on to the other side of the fence here. And decryption is not limited to HTTP or TLS. Everybody does decryption. It's becoming a big thing in this world, right? We want to protect our data. We don't want people to see it. Unfortunately, it makes our jobs harder because we have to troubleshoot the problems, and seeing the data is sometimes really important. So we have other ways to help you with that. In this method we just showed you, this was you get the data and decrypt it after the fact, and it's got its limitations. But there's another way. And so I'll start, you know, close everything down. Let me go back to kind of a simple network view of the data just to make the UI a little simpler. We can collect the data before the encryption happens. Now you say, how does that even work? Well, the stack in Windows has different components in it. And like I mentioned before, we can read ETL messages from the components. So components like the firewall, which sit up in the stack. It's not at the network layer. In fact, you don't even see ARP packets at the firewall stack because they don't make it up that far. But the advantage is that it happens at a point in the stack where IPsec no longer encrypts the messages. Or the HTTP component. We've instrumented in Windows 10 the HTTP component so that it will also emit messages in the clear. And so that's what I was going to show you real quick. So before we even do that, and I have to run as administrator, and I'm not going to do that because I think it would mess up the video. But in order to get a trace in a normal trace like you would with Message Analyzer, you just hit Start Local. That's all you have to do is go to the Start page, hit that one button, You'll require to be an administrator. This is an OS requirement. So you have to run Message Analyzer as administrator. But as soon as you hit that button, you'll start getting messages.
That's not really anything new, though. I mean, you know, with newer versions of the OS, you had to do that with network monitor anyway.
That's true, yeah. I think Windows 8 or 8.1 started making that requirement. So you're right, it isn't new. But it is something that people get confused about sometimes. So that's how you get a normal trace. But there's other ways to trace the data. And so the start local trace is just one of many scenarios. We call these trace scenarios. And a trace scenario is just a set of providers or a set of components that collects the ETL, or the log information from those components. And you can see a bunch of them listed here. Anyone that you mark as a favorite show up in this list, so you can kind of stick it on your start page and get to it later. Of course, you can edit the favorites to add them. But the generic way to access the scenarios or to create your own scenarios is using a new session. And so when you create a new session, you are potentially bombarded with lots of choices. The first two are the ones you can pay attention to. But it does go to show that you don't just have to get data from even a file or even the live data. You can also get it from Azure, event logs, like live event logs, PowerShell. Actually, it's not live event logs, but it imports the event logs, but from a machine. And even PowerShell output and SQL. So there's lots of ways to get data and correlate together, which is really cool with Message Analyzer. But we'll do a live trace. And when you do a live trace, again, this interface is a little bit different. If you look at it today, I think you'll get the pieces, but there's a place to select a scenario. And so scenarios are just a bunch of providers stuck together. We can edit one to see one if you want, but what I'm going to do is add one. And so if you look through the list, we won't add all of these, but this is the one here where I said it captures at the firewall level. It also captures loopback traffic, and loopback traffic is traffic that goes from one process in the machine to another, like a SQL server that's local on the box. In the past, you could never collect that data, and that's something Message Analyzer can do, and lots of people are really happy about that. It's a tool they haven't had before.
Yeah, that's really cool. Actually, I can think of a number of scenarios where that would be really helpful.
Yeah, test environments and development environments. So we get a lot of feedback, and people love that. So that particular scenario is good for capturing, you know, the IPsec encrypted data, which happens, you know, between IPv4 and TCP. Since this is the firewall layer, kind of where TCP and ports reside, we can capture that data in the clear. At the next layer up is our we call them pre-encryption, and we've changed the names a couple of times. And so these are my favorites, but pre-encrypted direct. This is something new we added with Windows 10 that works kind of like Fiddler, except it's built into the OS, so you don't have to install another component. It captures at the HTTP layer. There's no TCP. You can't filter on IP addresses for that matter, but it captures above so you can get the decryption, the data before it's decrypted and after it's decrypted. We also include, I'm sorry it clears each time, but that's just the way the UI works. We also include a Fiddler. It uses the Fiddler API. In fact, you have to install Fiddler. So this uses the same component to capture that traffic. And you can even show it in a very Fiddler-like way in the UI, and that's one of these profiles I mentioned before. So those are kind of HTTP-related scenarios, but there's other ones, like in a tunnel, a VPN tunnel or a direct access tunnel, right? That's data you can't see from the network card. You do network-level trace with those, and it's just a bunch of encrypted data. It could be TLS. It could be a bunch of other stuff. Why not capture it above the layer? So we have, again, multiple scenarios for those, and it just depends on where in the stack. For instance, for VPN, we have a scenario that captures that data, decrypted. SMB, which is the file sharing protocol, it can capture, be captured. So we have a bunch of these SMB client and server that captures that data decrypted. And then one that was interesting that I just added and it's not in this build, but you can sort of see it here, is that LDAP can be encrypted. And LDAP messages are hard to decrypt because, well, first of all, to get the cert for the LDAP, you know, server is not a easy thing to do.
636, I think, is the port.
Yeah. Exactly. So in that case, you can't see that data. we actually have a component that has dumped it out, and dumped it out for ages, by the way. This is not something new, just no one knew how to read it in a way that they were familiar. So even though this was presented as a bunch of hex ASCII data, we used our parsers to kind of stick them all back together, send them off to the HTTP parser, and now the LDAP parser, and now you can see those in the clear. So this is a new scenario that enables something that you couldn't do before, which is, I think, pretty cool.
USB in that list?
USB?
Yeah, didn't I see that go up a little bit?
Yeah,
so we can do USB tracing and Bluetooth tracing?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I mean, people don't think of those things when they think of a protocol analyzer. But, you know, what are these protocols? But they're just, you know, communication messages. So the Bluetooth provider dumps out messages that Message Analyzer can read. That's the wonderful thing about ETL. It's pervasive in Windows, kind of invisible. You can't, you know, it's talking all the time. No one's looking at it or listening to it. So this gives you a way, these scenarios, to tap into these things. And if we go one step forward and I say, you know, I create a new scenario, I can add in, and this is just the list, the whole list that Windows gives me. And unfortunately, I don't know what they all do. I don't think any one person does, but they could be helpful. And at least from a Premier side, you know, you could research and say, you know, figure out a scenario you want to support. Maybe there's some providers out there that could enable it and give you even more information, plus a trace. You can mix these and, you know, do multiple ones.
Hey, go find the RFC for...
Yeah. I mean, you know, internally, we have tools that allow you to kind of understand what some of these do, or the source code, or, I mean, obviously that's not going to work for end users, but that knowledge that we put together can be shared through this tool as a scenario, a trace scenario, and one day you'll have, you know, solve this problem scenario, and it makes it a little bit easier for our customers to gather the data. And then once you get the data, you know, being able to solve a problem with some of the more advanced tools with Message Analyzer, like the ability to find a pattern that just says, oh, you have this bug, go install this KB article and it'll fix you up. So there's lots of power there. Like Lex says, don't be afraid of new tools. It's with a little bit of investment and your past knowledge, you're not dumping it all away. You can become an expert in something that's very useful and very powerful.
Yeah, and my point was you already have all of the technical knowledge, right? It's just all about what buttons to click.
Exactly. Yeah, it's intimidating at first because you don't know where you're. How do I start a trace, or how do I filter? We try to make a lot of that the same, but the benefits we get from putting the things together are sometimes the problems people have, you know, trying to understand what happened with the trace. And that'll probably be one of my first videos, you know, kind of again like we started at the beginning, discussing those differences so you can get your mind wrapped around it and just take the knowledge you already know and apply it to, you know, a tool that can show you what you need to know.